The federal government appears to have done a U-turn on closing the permanent year-round research station on Macquarie Island. Macquarie Island's in the Southern Ocean between Tasmania and Antarctica. The Australian Antarctic Division announced earlier this week that from next year, the station would only open in summer to avoid the expense of replacing ageing infrastructure. But this afternoon, the Energy and Environment Minister, Josh Frydenberg, announced that he had now asked his department to provide options to ensure a permanent year-round presence. I asked him if he'd go further and make a definite statement that it would stay open.
Well, my clear intention is to keep it open. What the options may include is whether you replace entirely some of the ageing infrastructure that is there or whether you upgrade the existing infrastructure. There's some 30 different facilities on the island, ranging from a doctor surgery to accommodation, workshops, power and communication facilities. And we do need to upgrade it. That's the independent advice to government. And that was what was behind the initial announcement by the Antarctic Division that they were going to move to a network of field huts and only summer-based research as opposed to the permanent year-round presence.
Well, the division said when it made the announcement that they were going to close it to the permanent research station to avoid the expense of replacing ageing infrastructure. That implies that it's going to be difficult to keep it open without spending money. Do you have that money?
Well, we must find that money, and that's my job as the Minister for the Environment and Energy. I've taken consultations since that original announcement with the Bureau of Meteorology, with the Premier of Tasmania, with my federal colleagues, and I can see how important the Macquarie Island facility is to our climate and Antarctic research capability.
How much of an impact was it to be lobbied by the Premier of Tasmania, who's of your own party, of course?
Well, I spoke to him today and in previous days, and his input is clearly very important here, but also the Bureau of Meteorology and its head, Andrew Johnson, who I've spoken at length to about the importance of the centre to Australia's research capability.
But have you spoken to Scott Morrison and Malcolm Turnbull about this? I mean, obviously money will have to be spent.
I have spoken to the Prime Minister and I have spoken to the Finance Minister, and I'm conscious of the very tight budget constraints in which we operate. But clearly, this is an important national facility. It's an important global facility. And the daily balloons that are released from the island help calibrate the international satellites, which drive the weather models, which in turn drive the forecasts that not just Australia but other countries rely on.
And when you say that, there are going to be listeners saying, well, why on earth did anyone propose to close it down in the first place?
Well, as you know, when the Antarctic Division, Mark, made the original announcement, they made a number of comments. One, that there wouldn't be any job losses because the people would be redeployed to other areas in the Antarctic Division. Secondly, that there weren't going to be made any budget savings from recurrent expenditure because, again, that money would be redeployed. And at the same time, there was going to be an attempt to mitigate some of the impacts on research, which could be done by focusing on a summer-based approach as opposed to a year-long presence. But I've had a closer look at it, and it's my strong feeling that we do need to have a permanent year-round presence, and that's why I've asked my department to quickly come back to me with options in that regard.
Wasn't the original decision, though, effectively an acknowledgement that science, and particularly climate science, is now being squeezed so hard that they have to make unacceptable decisions?
Well, I'd clearly dispute that statement. Firstly, in relation to Antarctica and Antarctic science, the Turnbull government made a record funding commitment, over $2 billion, not just for a new icebreaker, but also for new infrastructure and an ability to boost our traverse capability for our expeditioners to search for that 1-million-year-old ice core, which we know exists but is yet to be found. At the same time, the CSIRO's new climate centre has been strongly supported by the coalition that we based in Hobart, and the original commitment of 40 full-time scientists for the centre was then improved upon by Minister Hunt when he announced in August an additional 15 staff and a more nearly $40 million worth of additional funding. So we are improving and increasing our funding on science for the CSIRO for climate science across the board.
And can you clear something up for the record? You have a lot of colleagues, or quite a number of colleagues, certainly on the backbench, who are very sceptical about the very existence of anthropogenic climate change caused by human activity. Where do you stand on that issue?
Mark, I'm unequivocally on the side of those who believe that man contributes to climate change and climate warming, and that's why, as a government, we don't dispute the science. We're just getting on with the job of mitigating its impact in the best interests of not just the Australian community, but the global community.
What are you going to do to persuade your recalcitrant colleagues, if you like?
Well, certainly they're not recalcitrant, and you need to understand there's always a difference of opinion on this issue and others, and you need to respect that. But it's the power of argument, and I've engaged in many a discussion with my colleagues, will continue to do so, and I do think that the evidence is there that the Earth is warming, and we do need to take action, and that's why the Turnbull government has signed up to very strong targets at Paris to reduce our emissions, and I'm working hard as the Energy and the Environment Minister to make those commitments a reality.
The Minister for Energy and Environment, Josh Frydenberg, speaking to me from Melbourne.